Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Everybody, and welcome to the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show, Truth Straight Up with Julie Hayden and Chuck Bonniewell. Chuck Bonniewell is still in hair and makeup, so he will be joining us as soon as he gets done with that. But hey, coming up at 3:30, we had listener requests for this. We're going to have Mark Poff, a law enforcement expert, explaining what the heck those FBI agents were doing. We showed you the video the other day, and we'll show it again. But they show up at this lady's house to talk to her about Facebook posts and say that's what they do all day, every day. But want to start off with Kenneth Raposa. He is with the Coalition for a Prosperous America, a former staff foreign correspondent for the Wall Street Journal, and a senior contributor for Forbes covering China since 2011. Hey, Kenneth, thank you for your time today. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me back on.
So wanted to have you on to talk about, you know, there's been all this hullabaloo and freak out on the Democrat liberal side about Trump using the word bloodbath in the automotive industry. But previously you had a column out that talked about how they all thought it was going to be a bloodbath with Trump policies. And actually it was just the opposite, right? So I'd like you to talk, just kind of jump right into it a little bit about, you know, what's interesting with Trump and Biden. For the first time, we have like two people running for president where we actually know what their policies look like. And can you sort of compare and contrast? And if you were to say bloodbath, which one would you pick? Or if you don't want to use that word, which works better, I guess?
Well, let's put it this way. The whole term bloodbath, of course, we know it was the media having a panic attack because that's what they do, right? They're just entertainment companies and they have to entertain you, and drama is the spice of life. So that's what they do. So disregard what they do. So the bloodbath term, of course, is Trump talking about the auto industry. And what he was alluding to was a bill that was proposed by Josh Hawley, senator from Missouri. And this bill wants to tax Chinese companies that make cars in Mexico by 100%. So if you're buying an EV, it was only for EVs. If you're buying an electric vehicle produced in Mexico by a Chinese multinational, it would be tariffed at 100%, even though it comes in from Mexico, which is duty-free, right? Because it's North American Free Trade Agreement. But interestingly enough about that whole bloodbath comment is when Josh Hawley came up with that bill in the first place, and I don't know the name of the bill, but again, it just targets Chinese EVs. At that time, the same month, within a few days, the CEO of XPeng Motors, his name is He Xiaopeng or something like that, Xiaopeng, right? And he said there's going to be a big battle between Western automakers and Chinese EV makers, because the EV is China's Trojan horse into the global auto market. And they said, he said, and there is going to be a bloodbath between the two. So he was the first one to use the term bloodbath as it related to the auto industry. Hawley said, okay, oh yeah, you want to be tough guy? All right, we're going to slap 100% tariffs on your cars in Mexico. And then, of course, Trump alluded to the tariff threat by Hawley and the fact that the Chinese auto industry is coming to Mexico. But not only that, an aside to this, okay, because I don't think this bill is going to pass because China's not going to see it really as being fair, and they're going to see it as hypocritical. And we can say, oh, well, who cares? It's China, whatever, who cares, right? But BMW is not going to see it that way. And guess what? They're building a huge factory to make EVs in Mexico. And guess what? They're not selling them to the Mexicans. They're selling them to the Americans. Tesla even has a factory that they're building there, not to sell Teslas to Mexico, because Teslas don't sell well in Mexico. They're going to sell them here. And so is Kia, and so is Hyundai. It's the same company. And of course, our beloved Ford and General Motors. So Ford has the Mach-E Mustang, which is the EV version of the Mustang. And, you know, that's not made in Detroit. That's made in Mexico. So these guys are not going to see that as something that they appreciate. They're going to see that as a risk. Are we next?
Right. Well, talk about with the tariffs and some of Trump's trade policies, because it seems, well, let me back up. With China, And maybe part of your explanation there with all these other companies. So maybe it's not as suspicious as it seems, or is it that, you know, we hear all this stuff about Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, China, and all of a sudden the next thing you know, China's building two massive factories in Mexico. And then boom, Joe Biden passes all of these policies that say everybody has to be driving an EV by whatever, 2025 or something like that. I mean, is that suspicious, or is that just where things are going these days?
Nope, it's not suspicious. It's where things are going. And let me explain. So China is a master at listening to what Brussels and Washington says they want to do. They're very smart at this. So, and for years, Brussels and Washington have been saying, and London have been saying, we want to move to a post-fossil fuel economy. Okay, that's what they've been saying. We all know this. Okay, so China said, we're in on it. We're in on it. We're not going to lower our greenhouse gases, though. That's not what we're in on. We're going to make all the renewable tools you need to reach your goals. We're going to dominate the solar supply chain, which they do. Europe is now crying about it.
Right.
We're going to dominate the wind supply chain. Europe used to dominate that. China is now moving in. China now is tied for first place in wind turbine manufacturing, along with a company called Vestas out of, I believe, the Netherlands or Denmark. I'm an American, so I get those two countries confused all the time. And then, of course, the EV market, right? China is the biggest auto market in the world, so naturally it's the biggest EV producer in the world. But not only that, forget the EV cars. Forget the cars, because you've probably never seen a Chinese EV car on the road in the United States. But what you probably don't know is that if you drive a Tesla, right, the battery is probably Chinese, okay? Because the only – because Americans and Europe, certainly the Europeans, they don't have an EV battery producer. All the EV battery makers are Japanese, South Korean, and Chinese, with China dominating. China is at the top, okay? So we have – so the Western world has said, we're going to fight climate change. We're not going to use fossil fuels. And China said, fine, we're going to make it all for you. So and in the meantime, while we make it for you – you know, the Europeans didn't say, the Europeans and the Americans never said, well, the Americans were better than the Europeans, but they certainly never said, oh, we're going to produce all the solar. We're going to produce all the wind. We're going to produce all the EV batteries. They never did any of those things. They never did any of it. China did it all. So the fact that China wants to set up a, you know, solar manufacturing plant in the United States to take advantage of the Inflation Reduction Act, what did you expect? They dominate the solar industry. If you're going to tell, you know, American manufacturers, whether you're multinational or not, we're going to give you tax credits for producing solar here. And you could be from anywhere in the world if you want to produce solar in the United States. Why wouldn't you think that the Chinese are going to come here? Because China dominates that market. It's like in the age of the internet in the 1990s, some country saying, hey, you want to build an internet, you know, whatever, .com? We'll give you $10,000. Who would think that every Silicon Valley funded firm wouldn't run to that nation? We're the only ones that have a .com. So it was the same thing. So China didn't, it's not like, you know, Biden is saying, oh, you know, we're going to do this so we can help the Chinese. It's just that they weren't very smart. They said they want to fight climate change. They want to do this and that, but they didn't realize that their entire industrial base is not set up to do it. I mean, we're a little ahead. We're better than the Europeans on solar, in particular on solar, not on wind. Americans have no wind company to speak of. If we do, you've never heard of it, and certainly I never have. But in terms of EVs, if it's not for Tesla, we don't even have an EV maker. Lucid Motors in Arizona is bankrupt. Rivian, I don't know how they're going to survive. Lordstown Motors, I think they went bankrupt. Ford F-150 Lightning, they're cutting back on EVs.
Right.
So, I mean, we don't have an EV maker other than Tesla, and we certainly don't have an EV battery maker.
Well, and let me, so just to point out, and tell me if I'm seeing this wrong, sort of, since a lot of this EV stuff and the wind and the solar is also backed by government grants, it seems to me that we are also paying China money to come in and to wherever they go and make all this stuff too, right? So we're giving them not only our consumer dollars, but our tax dollars too. Is that right?
Correct. Correct. I mean, look, Julie, it's like I said, so you have the Inflation Reduction Act, and it says we're going to help produce solar, wind, EV batteries, okay, in the United States. It doesn't say we're only going to give that money to American companies. And even if it said that, there are no American companies. Okay, there's a few American solar companies that I can name. First Solar, they're traded on the New York Stock Exchange. They're out of Ohio. They make a different type of solar panel, so it's different than a traditional one. I can't explain it, but it's a different type of technology, so it's not made the same way of a solar as you envision a solar, with these little squares all put in the panel. It theirs looks like a big sheet of glass. It's different technology. Okay, so you got First Solar, you got some other companies like Auxin Solar and some smaller players. But all the other top guys, if you Google search top 10 solar companies, China, American, China. I mean, it's it. So what I mean, you know, so and you know, the law doesn't say you can't come here if you're not Chinese or you're not German, you know. So of course they come and they say and they set up shop. So in that respect alone, yes, obviously that if a Chinese company is going to set up shop there to build solar, they are part of the law. They are employing Americans. They probably have American management on site. And if they're going to manufacture solar, they get to write that off on their taxes as part of the IRA, part of the Inflation Reduction Act.
Well, and call me crazy, but like, wasn't there a time when America made a lot of stuff when we like, and when, I mean, how did, I mean, and I know this is just a simple, basic question, but I didn't realize it's as bad as what you're saying. I mean, how did this get lost? And I mean, I blame Biden for everything, but no, but I mean, this had to have started way before even Joe Biden became president. How did this get flipped, and how bad is that? Or am I missing something in the bigger global picture that it's not as bad as it seems?
Well, it's very complicated, and books have been written about this by the dozens, right? So, you know, we don't have hours to spend unless we're going to do a Joe Rogan 2-hour sit down. But look, I mean, multinational corporations, they want to make profit, right? Especially the publicly traded ones. And if that means paying labor less in Asia, and that means that if they're making something that has a lot of chemicals that are toxic, and they don't have to deal with the Environmental Protection Agency telling them what they have to do with that chemical, and they can hire someone in Vietnam to pour it down a river, then they're going to do that. And they've done it since Kingdom Come. You know, they've done it forever. So when it comes to things like manufacturing prowess, of which China clearly is top, it's because American and European companies and Japanese companies said, we're just going to make it all in China. Now, that's happened aggressively since China entered the World Trade Organization. So, of course, the United States, you know, we're still a manufacturing power. We have Boeing, but a lot of that is...
Oh, great. We got Boeing.
Where doors are falling off airplanes. And that was a bad example. But, you know, look, it's a long story, but... Right. If you want to focus on solar, okay, let's look at that, for example. Okay. So, yes, the United States invented solar. Guess what? It was the polysilicon of Silicon Valley that was plugged into these little chips that became solar cells that were plugged into a big rectangular solar panel, right? That was invented here. And then China said, ooh, we're going to make those. Right. And then maybe, I don't know, because every company's different. The Silicon Valley investor said, oh, let's take our product, our intellectual property, and let's just manufacture it in China because we could do it for nothing. Yay. And then they did that. And then the Chinese said, let's copy it and we'll make it even more. And we'll make even more companies. And then the Americans went out of business. And that's what happened. That's it. And that's like solar 101 for you, right? Okay. That's solar economy 101. And that's what happened. And like I said, on the wind side, we don't really have any wind companies. I don't think there's anybody that makes wind turbines here.
So how would Trump policies, I mean, you know, you're the expert on all of this. How would his policies compare? And I mean, it seems to me like what he's saying we're going to do is at least try to level the playing field so that they don't. I mean, obviously, you can't just like snap your fingers and everything comes back to the United States and there are all kinds of things there. But I mean, my general sense of what Trump wants to do is at least level the playing field a little bit. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, one of the things he's talking about is slapping 10% tariffs across the board on all, well, I'd say all products. It might not be all products. It might not be like avocados from, you know, Mexico or, you know, passion fruit from Brazil. It might not be stuff or medicines from other countries. It might not be that, but it'll be, he said, let's put 10% tariffs. And the reason why you would do that, for starters, is because it changes the prices. It makes companies go, oh, well, if I'm going to pay 10% more, okay, maybe I'll make more of it here because I'm a factory. I have, I'm only firing on all four cylinders. I could fire on all eight. So I'll increase my investment and I'll increase my production and make more goods here. That's the theory. That's one theory. But you can't do that. You can't just put tariffs on worldwide or only on certain countries like we have on China, for example, without also having other things like you need tax incentives to give companies the incentive to want to invest in the United States long term because tariffs can disappear in a year or two, right? Or 4 years tariff. Tariffs are only for 4 years. And, you know, if Ken, Chuck and Julie want to build a lemonade stand and we find out that, you know, our mayor decides lemonade is poison and we can't sell it anymore. And that's a bill that's in the works. We're not going to invest in the lemonade stand. We're not going to invest in that. So companies need to know that they have some sort of price differential with tariffs. They have some sort of tax break incentive long term where they know where their return on investment is going to be. And maybe even some sort of industrial policy, which Marco Rubio talks about, where they know, okay, these are the areas of the economy that the United States sees as strategic and it wants to invest in, like microchips with the CHIPS Act, or like renewable energy. Because if you are going to go post fossil fuels,
right,
wouldn't it be ridiculous to say, oh, here we are self-reliant on natural gas and to a large degree petroleum. Let's forget all that and let's just rely instead on imported solar from Asia. I mean, that makes no sense whatsoever to anyone with a half of a brain. So, but if that's going to be a strategic sector for you, renewable energy, then you have to have American companies making those things, not Chinese multinationals or German multinationals. You need to foster American, companies that can do that, So it's a lot of moving parts, I think you would.
But you know, it all can be done, right? With at least somebody halfway intelligent somewhere.
Who cares about Americans?
Yeah, like you're appointed the czar of American manufacturing.
Well, you know, look, it can be done. And, you know, love it or hate it, the Inflation Reduction Act that did get a lot of solar investments in the United States, if, again, thinking that strategically, right? So if the United States is going to say, we're going to be a renewable power, we want to make renewable energy here. Okay, whatever, fine. But who's going to make it? All right, so the problem with the Inflation Reduction Act is you came up with this policy, but you didn't realize that none of the companies, there's not enough companies in the United States that make this stuff. So you automatically invited the Chinese because they're the ones who dominate it. Not just the Chinese, but the Japanese and the Koreans as well, who are investing a lot in battery manufacturing plants in the United States for EVs. But that's the problem. So you had this policy to do that, to become a renewable energy power, but you have really only a handful of companies in the United States that are in that space. It's dominated by Asians because of over the years, the United States has outsourced its manufacturing power to Asia, led by China. And so that's the result.
What about, explain this, because I think the theory is that you're telling the American consumer, well, hey, but your widget that even though China's making it with American money, tax dollar grants, and then selling it to you, but it's still cheaper. So in the long run, you're still saving money.
Even if you don't have a paycheck.
That's my question. I mean, to me, it sends on the flip side of that is, okay, but now we have way fewer people working, et cetera, et cetera. Is that true? Or is that some sort of, myth they taught me 100 years ago in high school?
Well, if the Chinese companies are making the widget here, or forget the Chinese companies, the Japanese company, right? If they're making the widget here, right, which was the case in the 80s with Toyota and Honda, which wiped out Oldsmobile and all these other big gas guzzlers, right?
Right.
Then you're hiring American workers and it's a peace deal in a way, right?
Right.
Because the American workers are making the Toyotas and so on. And the Japanese aren't happy because, they're hiring less Japanese workers because now all the Americans are making this stuff in the United States. But it is what it is. You gotta make a deal somehow. Now, if you're going to instead say, ooh, let's make all the cars in Mexico, the 51st state, and we'll drive them in on a car, whatever you call those car carriers, across the Texas border. Well, that's terrible, terrible idea. I fear that is the trend, right?
Yeah.
That is the trend, I'm afraid. I think the United States Auto Workers Union also hates that and knows that is a trend. And they could get all excited and, pretend that the Mexicans get to have a union and yay, yada, yada. But, okay, they make $5 or $10 an hour and you're making $25. So you can yay all you want, but guess what? You make 50%, you make 100% more than they do, so you're going to lose out no matter what. So in that case, if you think that everybody's going to go learn to code, and even that's useless because that's AI now, then I guess you might as well just invest in UBI, universal basic income, or invest in treatment centers, because I mean, that might be the future if you want you know, if you want American manufacturing to die out, not because of the Chinese, let's say, or Japanese, but because of Mexico, a big free trade zone. You know, so I mean, these are issues that are always. I think we like to pretend that there are issues that are top of mind on Capitol Hill. There are definitely issues that Capitol Hill discusses, and I know because of my job, I hear them talk about it. I attend hearings, and they do talk about these things, and some of them talk about it with passion, but I would not say half of them do. I would not say even close to half of them do. I would say most of them do not, and I would say most of them are either ignorant to it or they are still very much in the world of 1980s free trade, so to speak. You know, this free trade miracle that, you know, okay, free trade, great. Free trade makes everything cheap. Wonderful. But guess what? The only people who like free trade other than the United States are the other countries that are selling us things.
Yeah.
That's who likes free trade. We don't get the free trade in India. The three of us don't make a widget. Ken, Chuck, and Julie Enterprises don't make a widget. We don't make lawnmowers and sell them to India for like free trade. That's right. 100% tariff. Ken, Chuck, and Julia Automotives don't make cars and sell them to Germany for free trade. That's a 10% tariff. But the BMW and the Mercedes comes in here from Frankfurt at about a 3.4% tariff. So, you know, there is no free trade. That's a fantasy. That's make believe. There is between Singapore and Dubai, like on like, you know, I don't know, like grasshopper meat or something. But that's about the end of that.
So every other country in the world manages their trade, so they keep their whatever manufacturing they feel necessary, and you know, some they need, they don't need, but it's all managed by some kind of group within the government that is supposed to look out for
that country,
except us, in which case we have all these idiots in Congress who go, oh, free trade.
Not funny.
Right. Well, that is a debate. That is a debate among economists and the think tank crowd, and including where I work at the Coalition for Prosperous America, about managed trade. And I guess managed trade, and I'm starting to come around to that as well. At least when I say come around, I mean understand how that would work. Managed trade is more like a quota system, right? So it says, right, you can sell your widget, dear Chinese, dear Germans, to us, whatever that widget may be, a power tool or a car, but we're only going to accept 10,000 power tools per week. And they can come in here duty free or whatever the tariff is. It's 3% for your country, it's 8% for another country, whatever it may be. It can come in at that rate. But once you start selling us more than that, we're going to hit you with a 25% tariff. Okay. So in that case, if again, going back to the Ken, Chuck, and Julie Enterprises, we make tools also. We want to stay in business because mom and dad made that business, and we hire 30 people and we want to keep them employed. So we go, okay, well, at least now I know that my wonderful, you know, Milwaukee Sawzall is not going to, the production line, I'm not going to have to close because I've been seeing a lot of these come in from China, but at least I know there's a limit.
There's a limit.
So there, yeah. I could survive. So that would be, that's one concept of managed trade. And I'm sure some PhD in economics can, you know, talk your ear off on that, or maybe even tell you, say I'm wrong. I don't think I'm wrong, but you know, that's managed trade 101 again, you know, so.
Right. Well, it seems to be the instability.
What's the name of your group? The Coalition for a
Prosperous America.
Coalition for a Prosperous America.
That sounds evil. It sounds like the American, you know. Coalition sounds evil. That sounds democratic. Prosper America sounds like a Koch brother ripoff.
Oh, yeah. Right. No, the Koch brothers would be like, yeah, it would be like, yeah, the Koch brothers might be a coalition for liberty or something like that.
Yeah.
Liberty, the Liberty American.
Well, who chose that name for you guys?
That's like,
yeah, that would be something that the Koch brothers would do. The Koch brothers, well, or the real name for their organization would be called the Cato Institute. But I jest.
Oh,
yes. No, they will. They support
That's
it.
What they would really be called. Yeah.
Let me ask you
who funds your organization?
What's that?
Who funds it?
Your organization.
Okay, the Coalition for a Prosperous America.
Yep. So we're a member driven organization, right? So how these guys work is if you're a nonprofit like us, so we're an association. So if we were a textile association, right, who funds us would be textile companies who want us to represent them on Capitol Hill and tell Capitol Hill, hey, you need to, you know, do this and do that. Others who would fund us would be companies who have a certain interest on a particular topic and they ask us to do research on something, or they might ask us to sort of promote certain legislation. But that's kind of how it works with like on the lobbying arm. I'm not part of that part of that group.
Is there a TRICOM, TRICOM wing where the TRICOMs get to come in and give some money?
We would definitely not accept any. Yeah, we definitely would not accept any China money because we're our board would not appreciate that for sure. This is in America. The Coalition for a Prosperous America is definitely one of the America First organizations, right?
Oh, is it?
And most of our members would be guys who produce here. Some of them are big companies, but most of the companies that are members of the coalition would be small to mid-sized, privately held manufacturers or farmer and ranch organizations that, you know, are trying to battle against the centralization of agriculture, for example.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, so that would be our core base.
You got to change the name, guys. You got to change the name.
What do you recommend, Chuck?
I don't know.
America's First Foundation for Liberty, Freedom, and Justice.
Yeah, no, Coalition for Preventing the Bloodbath, something like that.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, boy. Maybe we won't get the,
We got to let you go, Ken.
You've been great.
We do the show on Zoom, and I know, so you're on the phone, you can't see, but everybody loves you. All of our listeners like, this guy's great. He's explaining it so well. So everybody.
Oh, good to have you back.
That's right. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Have me on. Appreciate it. Have a good night.
All right. Thank you. Ken Raposa there for, he's excellent, for the Coalition for a Prosperous America.
Need to get him back.
This is from Charlene. This guy explained it so well. The USA used to be the goose that laid the golden egg. Now China can lay eggs cheaper and the USA goose is cooked. Leo says great guess. Andrew says great guess. Everybody says great guess. I didn't even get into one of the things I want to talk about. We'll have him on again and talk about is this whole concept of the computer chips.
At your guys' request, what we're going to do is have which one you enjoy better kind of contest in a couple of weeks. It'll be Carl Hoops and Ken Raposa.
No.
And a head-to-head match.
That's right. Just Carl Hoops. I know there are a lot of people who disagreed with Carl.
He's a nice guy.
We probably run into him once a week.
He's the nicest guy.
He was very nervous about Chuck attacking him. So, and we're going to run into him again on Saturday. So, hey, speaking, though, of guest requests, we had several requests after we played that FBI tape for us to get Mark Poff on, former El Paso County Sheriff investigator, law enforcement expert. He's so busy anymore doing trials and things like that and actually using his expertise to tear apart prosecutors who have fallen.
Which he's now learned to enjoy.
But wanted to get him on to talk about a couple of things. One, he's going to be filling in for us on Friday. We're starting to get into golf tournament season. But also wanted to talk to him about that.
President wants to consult us down at Mar-a-Lago. So we're taking Friday off.
Yeah.
Just to let you know.
No. So, Mark, if you're...
Julie just doesn't...
Exactly.
So someday,
we're
going to have to teach her a little... Yeah, how to lie. My God.
I'm a bad liar.
Well, I'm a good one. So, I mean, my God.
Hey, we've got Mark with us.
We're going to drug rehab Friday because we're totally...
No. We've got Mark with the same. Mark, thank you for your time. Like I said, we had...
There's somebody that needs to go to drug rehab.
No, ton of stuff. Ton of stuff to talk about, but wanted to replay the video first. But, you know, there's been a lot of publicity about these FBI guys. And at first I was like, are they really FBI guys? I mean, it seemed kind of sketchy. But apparently the woman reportedly confirmed that they were. But just in general, you're kind of...
They seem kind of professional in an unprofessional way.
Well, shown up at somebody's house saying, you know, I was reading your comments in the Colorado Springs Gazette newspaper and your letter to the editor.
The FBI did that. We ran some things against this is true. We ran these things about a development these rug merchants wanted to do, build this super skyscraper in Glendale. And some people wrote in to the paper saying they thought it sucked. What did they get knocked on their door? FBI agent
pretending to be a private investigator. It was crazy. But anyway, did you guys ever do that? Did you ever happen to a Paso County sheriff say, oh my God, we can't believe those comments. We're just going to go knock on their door.
Well, there actually is something called a knock and talk, which sometimes when we get complaints, we'd go out and just knock on the door and say, hey, we got a complaint. Want to talk to you about this. Are you, you know, were you willing to talk to us? And most people would be like, sure, I'll talk to you. Who cares? So, I mean, I'm sure from their standpoint, they were doing a knock and talk, but I actually think in watching the video, I was somewhat stunned how stupid they are. And I do a whole thing on you might be stupid if you do this. They are stupid, and I'm going to explain how they're stupid. But my guess is they're probably members of the JTTF, would be my guess.
Joint Terrorism Task Force.
Yeah. So what happens is the FBI, after 9/11, created this task force. And what they do is they needed personnel. So they would recruit local law enforcement. So they go to the sheriff's office and say, hey, we'd like to have one of your detectives to be on our JTTF task force. And they will actually work for the FBI. So these guys were very quick. And we had somebody at the sheriff's office. I used to laugh at this guy constantly because it seemed like he got dumber after he worked for the FBI for a while. But he would always say, my name's, I'm Mark Poff and I'm with the FBI. And I'm like, dude, no, you're not. And he goes, I work for the FBI. It's like, no, you don't. Your paycheck does not come from the FBI. And he'd get all pissed off and he goes, look, I'm working for the FBI on this task force. So they think they're all big time. My guess is, and I mean, I could be wrong, they could just be stupid, but they probably are local law enforcement. And they showed her their
Their
credentials. They
badges.
don't give you FBI badges, which are not
Right.
very impressive. If you've ever seen one, they're kind of, I like a big sheriff's star that I had. I thought that was pretty impressive. But they probably showed her his credentials. Then when they got outside, it's like, hey, we don't want to show you again. Because that would open up a whole new conversation. Wait a minute, those aren't FBI
That's a good
badges. What the
point.
hell? You just told me you're FBI.
Which would explain why he didn't know the phone number, too.
Yeah.
Well,
Well,
let me
let me
look that,
go.
let me
Here's the phone
look that
number.
up.
Before we play the video, there is a funny story there because years ago, during the whole Ramsey thing, for some reason, they were doing something Ramsey related at Quantico, right? So, of course, all the media went to Quantico. And although we were, we couldn't really go very many places, we could get into the gift shop. So, of course, we all bought all this FBI stuff, right? Our little FBI hats and FBI jackets. And then, fast forward a couple years later, there's some guy missing in the wilderness outside of Pueblo or something like that is gonna like shoot everybody. So they're all looking for him. So we're all checking into the hotel, and the photographer I'm with is wearing his FBI jacket. Now he's a TV photographer, and
Probably not a good idea.
somebody goes, "Oh, hey, you get that FBI rate?" And you know, the special
Yeah,
jacket.
all right,
there you
good.
go.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I used to. So right down here at the old Come and Go, they've switched to Maverick. I used to love going there because 7-Eleven would give you a free coffee, but at Come and Go, they would actually charge you 50 cents, and you could get the largest Mountain Dew or the largest hot chocolate. And I'd go in there constantly with my jacket that said Sheriff's Office, so I could get the discount. I still haven't told them I've retired.
Well, let me though to go to what Mark is talking about. And if you guys, if you miss it, so it's been all over. But a woman videotaped this, and it's become, I think Jesse Waters was on Fox last night. These guys came up to her house wanting to talk to her about her Facebook posts, and listen very carefully to the part where they say, "We do this all day, every day." So Thomas, if you could please play the FBI video.
So you said you were with the FBI?
That's correct.
And why won't you show me your credentials?
We did. I showed you my
I
credentials.
didn't really take a look at them. I said, one second, I'll be right back. Are you going to show me your credentials or no?
Yeah, we did already. So, and we identified ourselves. So what we'd like to do
I
is just
didn't look
have a
at your
phone call.
credentials again.
Well,
I didn't verify them. I told you to wait, and I went inside.
Okay, that's correct. What we'd like to do is just have a conversation with you about some social media posts that you've made. Would you be willing to talk to us today about that?
No, I would not. I would like you to later talk on with my lawyer.
Okay.
Do you have
Do you have a
identification
card or something for your
cards?
attorney that we could reach out
No.
to?
No. I'll get back to you.
Okay. All right.
You'd like to have your attorney contact the FBI office in Oklahoma City.
What's the number? What are the names of the agents?
I'll Google it for you.
So you're refusing to identify yourselves?
No, we've already identified
Again, I did not take a look.
ourselves. Okay, so the phone number for the FBI in Oklahoma City is 405-290-7770.
Okay.
If you just call me by name, then you'll be able to get you in contact with us and we'll be happy to speak with you.
And tell him that Facebook flagged me for posts.
Facebook gave us a couple of screenshots of your account. House.
Okay. So we no longer live in a free country and we can't say what we want?
No, we totally do. That's why we're not here to arrest you or anything like that.
Well, you can't arrest me for freedom of speech. We live in America.
Correct.
Exactly. So it's kind of weird that you want to come talk to me about me exercising my freedom of speech.
We do this every day, all day long, and talk to people.
Okay.
It's just an effort to keep everybody safe, make sure that nobody has any ill will or bad intent or anything like that. And we've got no reason to believe necessarily that that's you, and that's why we just wanted to have a conversation.
So do you have a conversation with everybody on the neighborhood?
All right, Mark. Actually, I hadn't even thought. I bet you're right. I mean, the Joint Terrorism Task Force. So let's go ahead and all the things that are wrong
this. But I'm telling you, that's exactly what happened in Glenville. They published in our newspaper opposition letters to the editor, and the FBI went out and contacted him and had conversations. They do it all the time.
Right.
Yeah, but the things that they're supposed to do,
right.
I mean, they need to provide her with their names. They have to provide a business card. Like in the state of Colorado, I have to, if asked, I have to give you a business card of who I am. You know, and so and why would you not want to say who you are? I mean,
right.
That makes no sense. And I wish you'd have played the whole ending of that.
Okay, but go ahead. You can explain it.
Yeah, no worries, because if you notice at the ending, have you seen the whole video?
Uh-huh.
At the ending, they get in their vehicle. Where's the vehicle parked?
Oh.
It's parked in her driveway. No cop with their God-given sense that God gave them and all the training that you don't ever park in their parking, in their driveway. You park on the street one house down. So if things go to hell, your vehicle's not right there getting blasted. You know, you're trained. I mean, these guys are idiots. And you know, I wonder who the female is. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
She looked very bright.
She didn't want to be there.
Well, she was obviously the smartest one of them all because she never said a word.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the smartest thing you could do is like, hey, I'm not with these jackasses that are making fools of themselves. And one of the things that I thought was the worst, I mean, you're always trained to de-escalate in every situation. She's obviously hyped up. I get it. But he says, that's why we're not here to arrest you. What the hell? I mean, that's not, you know, hey, we were thinking about arresting you, but we're really actually not here to arrest you.
We're here to tase you, tell you the truth. Well, give you a couple tase shots. Mean,
but here's the bottom line. What is their goal?
Yeah.
I'm sure their goal is what they would say is to receive intel, to get intel, to make an assessment on whether a threat assessment on whether they think that she is an issue. And
right.
I would tell you, she is most likely not an issue because she's very verbal.
Right.
You know, she's willing to talk to them, not about the subject matter, but she's typically, if someone's like, you know, I don't want to talk to you guys, but that's someone who's like, they probably got a bomb in their house. But, but she, you know, the fact they're trying to gather intel. Another thing is they're trying to push her buttons.
Yes.
They're trying to push these buttons to see if they can get a response to get her to say something, you know, because, I mean, what this is all about is she basically said, you know, I mean, if I've got this right, like she could, all the Zionists could die or whatever. All so, and she's pro-Palestine or whatever. That's fine. That's her right to be wrong. But the thing is, they want to see if they can get her to react. There's just... I wish I could talk about this, but I can't talk about it yet. Maybe in about 6 months. But I will tell you that I will tell you, cops go out to locations to push buttons. And then sometimes these buttons go bad and someone ends up dead.
Yes.
And that's the problem with this. These guys are jackasses. If they really thought that she was a threat or whatever. I mean, the one guy, you could see his gun was out. You can actually see his gun from underneath his shirt that's supposed to be hidden. I don't think FBI agents typically dress like that I've seen from my experience. But the thing you do need to understand, not only the FBI agents, FBI are the most arrogant individuals in law enforcement there is. And then when they bring these locals in from JTTF into this task force, they become just as arrogant. I mean, like overnight, you know, it's like they say, whenever you go into management, they give you a lobotomy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same thing. When you join the FBI in this task force, you overnight become, I'm with the FBI, you know.
Right.
So that means you can do things stupid, like go dancing with your gun.
That's right, and do a bat flip.
I mean, if you go back and you track all of these smart things that FBI has done, they're not very many. I mean, they do all kinds of these things. And you just got to wonder what their goal was. And some of the things in this article about them, I think they were on a fishing expedition. Oh, absolutely they were on a fishing expedition. And the fact that they say we do this every day, I don't believe that for one.
No.
I mean, would you take that job? I go around and talk.
And I mean, they're in a little post. Maybe the FBI does it. I mean, but it's like they're just, like you said, they're probably, what you say makes perfect sense, are probably local cops who've been assigned to this task force.
The one of the sunglasses looked like he was the official FBI guy. The guy in the middle seemed like he was a joint terrorism task force. And the woman looked like a stripper they picked up in the meantime.
Actually, my guess would be she's probably the only FBI agent.
Yeah.
If I had to pick one, I'd say she's the FBI agent. These two are local TFF, you know, whatever. And I mean, they just act like the guys that used to run across.
It seems to me like you're right. There are a number of things. Because you're right, FBI agents, they all look alike and they dress because they're going there to get information, not to get shot, right? So they want to look professional. These guys look like undercover drug cops or something, you know, wearing their plaid shirts and stuff like that.
They have beards.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like they did not look like, because I was like, maybe they're fake. And I think, again, reportedly they were not fake. And I think if they were fake, that would have come out by now.
It would have been a huge, huge event. And my money's still on JTTF. I would buy you dinner if that's not true.
And they're not really cops at all.
The worst part of all of this is that when they went out and got in that car parked in the driveway, it wasn't an electric vehicle.
Yeah,
what is our federal government? They need to be setting an example. Need to be driving electric vehicles from China.
Right. Well, but may not have been able to get away though if the charger's out. So maybe had to roll it down the street. Well, and you know, to go back to what you originally said though, when you said you do knock and talks, right? And then I was a reporter, we did a ton of those. But those usually were knock and talks in reference to a crime. It wasn't like the mayor called you up and said, "Hey, this lady criticized me about this. So why don't you go have a talk with her?" Right? I mean, this to me, this is total intimidation. The FBI probably is glad these guys were idiots and did this, because now everybody's going to be like, well, maybe I should watch my Facebook posting. I mean,
our letters dried up after the FBI started calling all the people.
Interesting point. It's not like you can sue them or anything.
Yeah.
I will definitely tell you, like local law enforcement, we don't do anything unless there's a complaint.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, if the sheriff, now I know that, and I got to watch how I say this. I know there's some smaller city councils and mayors that have asked the chief of police to go have cops do some things. And usually the chief of police, like, we can't do that.
Right.
You know, there has to be a crime. We have to be investigating a crime. Now, posting on Facebook is very serious from the standpoint of this. Now, if I put out on Facebook, just giving an example, I want to kill someone, or I want to kill. Actually, if you went out there and said, I want to kill every Muslim on the planet, you will have a law enforcement response. If you want to meet cops, that would be
great. Yeah, we want to meet some nice cops.
You will. But if what she said, and the guy said very clearly that no, you know, you did not break the law. I mean, it's almost like he says, we're not here to arrest you, which means he hasn't broken the law, which means that they went out there to not investigate a crime. That is I don't want to say it's illegal. That is official misconduct.
Oh.
For who?
If somebody on those cops, they should be charged
with
them.
Was it official misconduct for the FBI to come into Glendale?
Yes.
No, they can do whatever they want. The FBI can do whatever they want.
Oh, that's okay.
The point of this is that local cops, if I went around and just started saying stuff, hey, I don't like your Facebook post, I'd get fired.
Yeah,
the sheriff would call me in and say, dude, what's the crime? You know, you went down there and harassed these people with a knock and talk, but identified yourself as law enforcement, you know, and said you wanted to talk to them. And there's no crime. That's taxpayer dollars that are paying for them to be there to do basically what?
Right.
If there is no crime, who pays the FBI
people. The taxpayers.
Well, and it's perfectly okay for them to do it.
Yes.
Okay. I got it. I got it. I now understand.
That goes to something you've long said, though, is, you know, they want to nationalize law enforcement because the reason, the main reason the sheriff gets upset about that is because he's got all of his voters calling him saying, what the hey, right?
Are you trying to get me knocked out of my position?
That's right. Yeah.
I the best thing about America, I think, when it comes to maintaining the Constitution and our whatever, however you want to call our life or whatever, is county sheriffs.
Yeah.
I mean, that is what makes America, one of the things that makes it so great is the sheriff's going to say, wait a minute, I answer to the county constituents who voted for me. I don't answer to sleepy Joe Biden who doesn't know what he's doing.
Right.
You know, I hope you guys on Sunday celebrated, you know, what Sunday was all about, right?
Yeah. Christian Visibility Day.
Do you think he actually knows he signed that document?
No, video, I didn't do that. No.
Do you remember watching MASH when Radar would slide all those things underneath and he'd just sign away everything? I mean, it was half the joke was that Blake didn't know what the hell he was signing. I guarantee you Joe Biden doesn't have a clue what he's signing, and they want to nationalize police.
Right.
Oh my goodness. That's the worst thing. Again, first thing Hitler did when he took office, and that's what the Democrats want to do.
Right. Exactly. Well, let me let you, because you're going to, again, graciously fill in for us on Friday while we go talk to President Trump.
I canceled my trip to talk to him to do this.
We
took your spot. What do you guys got coming up?
Well, I mean, I hate to bring this up again, but I want to talk about immunity a little bit.
Sure.
And actually, this is something about where cops should have some immunity.
Okay.
A little bit. And I think you know that, and again, John and I will talk about some latest cases and stuff about some things that we can now talk about after they've been adjudicated. We'll have to figure out which ones we can talk about. But the governor's
the fun ones.
The fun ones. Don't talk about the boring ones, which is 90% of but you know they're going to tell the cops that they can't put people in a prone position.
Legislature. Explain. Well, don't give your show away. But yes, the legislature is talking about that.
Isn't it dangerous.
On the ground? Isn't that where you put people on the ground?
That's one of the first words I learned in law enforcement is get on the ground.
Get on the ground.
I can't say that anymore. I mean,
what are they supposed to do?
Say get on your knees, you'll probably lose your job.
Well, yeah, I mean, I saw that too, and I'm like,
well, I can tell you what they're going to do because I got that when I was unfairly arrested and eventually acquitted for a DUI. They throw you on the top of the car, and then you get a little bounce, and that's fun.
Well, that's legal, though.
They'll continue to be illegal. They're going to get more cars.
Well, that's kind of crazy. And hopefully, too, can you bring everybody? I was going to get John, and then it's gotten so busy on the whole CBI debacle. That's ongoing.
I'll go through that with John. That is actually pretty huge. And I think you know, last time I was here, I kind of suggested that there was somebody else in the state that has some issues, and they have now announced that there is someone else under investigation in Weld County.
Who was doing something. My understanding is kind of unrelated. I mean, it wasn't like there was a conspiracy or something, but another, it was a Weld County DNA kind of evidence kind of issue, right?
I guess they have a lab up in Greeley, but I would tell you multiple people normally can find the same shortcut.
Yes, right.
So, all right, well,
over professional cocktails, hey.
Have you thought about doing this?
All right, well, listen.
Save you a lot of time. Fridays will be free. It'll be great.
Yeah. Mark, thank you. We look forward to that on Friday. Thank you for your explanation today, okay? Appreciate it.
All right, see you guys later. Have fun.
Take care.
All right, and then everybody, that'll do it for us on Wednesday. Thank you again to Ken Raposo, all the great comments too. He did great. Yeah. Thanks you guys for that too. That'll wrap it up for us. Chuck is always leaving. It's golf season. You can tell.
He's got to get the call from the president.
From the president.
To arrange for Friday.
All right, everybody. We'll see you later, everybody. Thank you for participating.